Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off, go to squarespace.com/CBSSports and use the offer code FUN. Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Roll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, I'm offering you a max deal, but I'm, spoiler alert, I don't have the money to do it.
So I was at the zoo on Friday, and so I just got back in, and my kid has passed out while we're doing this this podcast. So fill me in on the Bledsoe news.
Well, I'm glad you called it news, because our news and notes segment is brought to you by Squarespace. So here's what happened. I don't know quite. I guess it was like 2 or 3 years ago. Eric Bledsoe hired Rich Paul as an agent, which was his first big mistake.
Long ago, Eric Bledsoe made a mistake.
Right. He made a mistake with his agent. And then this summer, Rich Paul had a couple of clients that were free agents. One was LeBron James, who can get any deal he wants from any team he wants. And the other one was Eric Bledsoe. He may have another client in there, but just for argument's sake, let's pretend he doesn't, or at least not as a free agent this summer. And so LeBron got his deal, and then Rich Paul and family and LeBron and them just kind of celebrated. And the whole time it's been, Eric Bledsoe, you're going to get a max deal. And all last year, like you mentioned on the podcast the other day, that the Suns the entire time were like, oh, we're going to match anything he wants. Like any offer sheet he gets, we're going to match. Like, we're keeping Eric Bledsoe. And now we've gotten to the point where it is September 19th, and Eric Bledsoe doesn't have a contract. He's like one of the only like real free agents left on the market who, like, it's him and Ray Allen, and Ray Allen's just hanging out.
Right.
Like, it's not like Ray Allen could sign any time he wants. And so the Suns have been firm on this 4-year, 48 offer. Bledsoe and his camp have been firm on a max offer that they want for him to stay. And, you know, never the two shall meet. And so now we've got the situation where I'm going to assume, like, Brian Windhorst, like, at first, Fox 10 in Arizona, or in Phoenix, reports that the Wolves are going to make a run at Bledsoe with a max offer. And then Brian Windhorst gets the same report, which is great. So this is clearly, like, becoming something that is a thing. The problem is this max offer from the Wolves, they're $7 million over the cap.
Ooh.
So that's hard. They've used 3.5, I think, or almost 4 of their mid-level exception on Mo Williams. So they really have like $1.5 million to offer. The starting max salary is $14.7. So they would need to clear roughly $27 million. Or no, that's not right. $21 million.
I don't see any problem with this. The Philadelphia 76ers exist. I don't see any why everyone's wondering how this can be done.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess if the Sixers want to add players to their team, which I don't think they do, then this could happen. But so the Wolves, the only way they can get Bledsoe to agree to an offer sheet, a max offer sheet, is to, like, legally get him to agree to it, is to say, hey, Phoenix, we need a sign and trade. Adrian Wojnarowski then comes out about, I don't know, 45 minutes later and says, Phoenix has no interest in this. So for a while, the Wolves were going to magically get Eric Bledsoe, and now they're not.
Would we call it Rubledzio then?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, all right, let's kind of like try to be Ryan McDonough right now. If you're going to
I'm handsome, I'm awesome, I'm good at my job. Okay.
You're wealthy, like, you know. You're not going to get Andrew Wiggins. Like, that's just not going to happen. The Wolves would never even consider that. So what off this Wolves roster interests you to where you want to give up Eric Bledsoe on a sign-and-trade to a conference opponent on a max deal?
Oh, sorry. Were you talking? I was being Ryan McDonough, so I was shopping on Ethan Allen. I was shopping on Ethan Allen, so I was ordering a new suede couch.
Yeah, all right. Get off Ethan Allen for just a little bit and stay with me. What on the Wolves roster do you – like, okay, the biggest potential star that they could offer is outside of Wiggins, which they're not going to offer, is Rubio. Why would Phoenix want Rubio? They have Isaiah Thomas. They have Goran Dragic. Why do they want Rubio in his restricted free agency?
Baz, Levine, Jang, Martin.
See, I don't think they'd take Martin. Even for all that. Like, even if you're getting Jang and Levine and Baz, like, I don't see how that, like, I would take Miles Plumlee over Gorgui Jang. So, what? I mean, I guess you're getting depth, but you already have Alex Len. Like, how does Jang make sense to them?
Robbie Hummel?
Sure.
Will?
I mean, I like Robbie Hummel a lot.
J.J. Barea to make him into a point guard, and then he can have four diminutive point guards, and all of a sudden Barea will be awesome, and he can add it to the legion of players that are good there that pisses off the people that had him before.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it just doesn't – like, just straight-up deals, like, well, just don't make any sense.
Well, hold on. What if you did Levine and Peck?
Why would that – Peck's got 4 years left on his deal.
Yeah, but you don't care about defense because your team is awesome.
He doesn't. Like, he's not fast.
But all you need is a center. Like you gambled on Alex Len, and that's not looking so hot.
What if they believe in Alex Len? What if it's just like, oh, he had a thumb injury or whatever the hell he had. He's gonna be fine. Like, I don't believe in Alex Len. I don't think he's any good. But
what if they believe in Peck more? I don't know. There's no. I don't know.
I mean, like, but yeah, you can believe in Peck, but $47 million over the next 4 years. That's a lot of belief.
Yeah, I'm not. I have to go back. I don't think he's on my Elite 100. So
I think I left him off too, and I think I was angry that we didn't right. have him last year. But then he regressed defensively, and now I'm like, I don't think I have him on there.
Yeah, it's like, oh hey, you can get Corey Brewer. All right, because we need a redemption project because Gerald Green. You know, it's like, we're gonna start Gerald Green and Corey Brewer, and we're just like. We're like the Jake the Snake Wrestling Redemption Rehab Center, only for NBA athletic guards.
Right. I wonder what other former Wolves. I mean, Ryan Gomes is probably available.
Yeah, that's tough.
If Rashad McCants can get his shift at Chili's covered, he's available.
I mean, I like Levine.
Yeah, Levine would be like, great for them, but they also
Levine and Baz. I like both of those guys going there. Like,
well, the thing I love about Baz is like what I've said, and this has kind of like soured some people, I guess, on his potential. I've been like, if he becomes PJ Tucker, that's a win.
Yeah,
and then he could learn from PJ Tucker.
Yeah, yeah, that's not going to happen. So we'll remain in purgatory. And yeah, it's God. We're 10 days away from their training camp.
That's the thing. Like, this isn't happening, like, July 19th.
Yep.
We're at September 19th. This doesn't feel like a thing. Like, this feels like a desperation. And if the Wolves are, like, actually trying to throw a max offer his way, good for them. Like, yeah, you might as well try if you're not giving up Wiggins. I mean, like, is Levine and Bennett in a first? Do you do that if you're Levine and Thad Young? Would that interest you? Like, I just keep thinking, like, Levine can shoot, but, like, does Thad Young fit in with them at all? Like, they have Markieff Morris. Why would you want Thad Young?
I think what you have to gamble at this point is you have to look at it and say and ask yourself, like, have we pushed this so far to where he's just going to take the – is he going to go Monroe? Like, do we really think that he's going to do this? Like, how strongly do we think that he's going to take the qualifying offer and then just leave? Because if you're not going to get anything for – but even then you can do a sign trade.
Yeah, you have bird rights then. Like,
you could still do the sign trade, and you can still offer more money. And like,
and how many – I haven't looked at it, but like, how many teams are gearing up for a big free agency push next year? Well, all right. That's true.
I think the Nets will have money, and then the Knicks. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess I just think like after Gasol and after Rondo, you know, Love's not going to be there. I think Aldridge is resigning. You know, LeBron's allegedly not going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what would you do with Bledsoe? Would you just like?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, because it's always like we talked about this, but it's always on the free agent, the restricted free agent's camp to go set the market. Like, we saw it with Gordon Hayward, we saw it with Chandler Parsons. Well, maybe the Mavericks kind of set the market for him, but still, like, his agent had to go get an offer, right?
Yeah.
And then you force the team to match. But if you don't go get an offer sheet, there's nothing you can – like, there's just nothing. There's no – And it's a position where the Suns have depth. That's the thing. Like, they're not going to be hurting because no Eric Bledsoe. Like, yeah, he's a good player, and he can, you know, he's very valuable to them. But
he can sit out till Christmas, and they have Isaiah Thomas and Goran Dragic.
Right. So. Like, you're not getting the defense from him, but, like, you just adjust. You still have plenty of firepower. Like, they're not going to fall apart because Eric Bledsoe's not there. And so it's just, I mean, at this point, it seems irreparable, but if you get into next summer and they say, we want to give you a max offer, you're an unrestricted free agent, you had a great year, we're going to give you a max offer. Is he going to turn that down? I just don't see that happening. If it's always been about the money, then I don't see that happening.
Yeah, now if they give him the money, it's fine. It's just a matter of whether they give him the money or not. So now I'm like shopping for teams like we could legitimately send him to. I'm like,
yeah, I mean, Philadelphia could just sign him outright. Like they have cap. They have, I think they've got more cap space than they have committed money.
Like, well, yeah, but they still have to work under the limits of the salary cap. Well, they did. They just offered him 2 max contracts.
Right. I think they could actually offer him 2 max deals, and it would fit. They'd still have like the room exception.
They signed him twice. No. That was Eric Bledsoe. This is Eric A. Bledsoe. About Lawson.
What about him?
What if you trade Bledsoe for Ty Lawson? Fine trade.
I think it's a great deal. It's a great deal for both sides.
Denver gets more of a badass.
Yeah, like according to Woj, the Suns aren't interested in a sign and trade of Bledsoe unless they're getting an all-star or an all-star caliber player back. I think you could argue that Ty Lawson is an all-star caliber player.
I was like doing the groundwork to write his Ty Lawson should be an all-star piece last year before he got hurt.
Right.
He got hurt in it was, I think, late December. And that's when I was like, well, there goes that.
But, yeah. I mean, you can certainly, if you don't think he's an all-star, that's fine. But I don't think you can call the argument that he was one last year or at least playing like one ridiculous. Like, I think there's a lot of validity to it.
Could do like Lawson and like maybe Hickson for one of the Morris twins.
Nah, you got to take them both. Can't separate them. They've got those creepy twin powers.
The Wonder Twin powers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a really weird situation, and I think the leverage is all screwed up on all sides. Like,
right.
The Suns don't have any leverage.
Nobody has leverage at this point.
Yeah.
Flip Saunders has the most leverage, and he doesn't have any cap space.
So the Sixers can sign him twice, and the Wolves can't sign him at all, and right. They're going to win about the same number of games next year.
Right. Oh, and the thing is, like, I guess, like, all right, you take the one-year qualifying offer, it's $3.7 million, and then you just hope you don't get injured, which Greg Monroe's doing. We've seen Ben Gordon do it in the past. Like, it's not totally uncommon, but it's just not, I guess it is uncommon. But, we've seen it happen, and it's been fine. Like, those guys have gotten paid. But, my God, what a gamble. And then if your Suns and you lose them next year for nothing, you're fine. Like, you've done the work to prepare for that. But you got to, I think you got to try to move them at the deadline, right?
I guess you do.
I mean, you would almost, I would think if you don't try to move him at the deadline and he just flat out leaves next summer and you don't do a sign and trade and you don't get anything back, the fans aren't going to riot, but you're going to really have to have, you know, and then you've got Goran Dragic opting out next year because there's no way he's going to go for $7.5 million. Like, his number is $7.5 million for the following season. Like, he can make way more than that.
And that's probably a lot of why they're doing this, right? They're probably like, see, we're going to have to pay Goran like $15 million.
Right.
So, like, he was arguably an MVP candidate last season, and yeah.
Yeah, all NBA third team. I mean, this is almost the problem when you acquire too many good young assets, which they've kind of fallen into there, because you got to pay those guys at some point. I mean, they let Channing Frye go. Channing Frye was valuable for them.
Yeah, well, I think they were also, though, they were like, oh, we can do this, because not like all of them are going to get good at once. Like,
right, I think they were way better than they anticipated last year.
They definitely were. I think they were like, well, it's going to take some time, and we're going to be patient. We're just going to try and compete. And all of a sudden, it was like, oh, we're in the seventh spot for half of the year.
Right. Oh, wait. Jeff Hornacek's an amazing coach.
Yeah. Yeah, that's got to make you feel good. Like, both them and the Bobcats have to just be like, wow. Because, I mean, like, I was talking to a Bobcats guy last year after I talked to Clifford, and I was like, you guys found the guy. And they're like, yep. Like, it took a while, but they finally found, like, the guy.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, I don't know what kind of coach he would be, but they're just always, like, that. There's that assumption that Patrick Ewing was going to be, at least, like, I feel like he was going to be a guy eventually for them because of the Jordan relationship and all that stuff, but... like, what a disaster it would have been if they went with Ewing over Clifford. And maybe Ewing ends up being a good coach if he ever gets that shot, but, like, Clifford's a good coach. Like, you know what he is.
Clifford's like Thibodeau if he didn't drive everyone insane and right. completely run players into the ground and, like, physically and threaten their long-term health. Like, it's amazing. speaking of threatening long-term health, so some cross-sport news. Goodell had the press conference today, which I heard on the way in on the radio back from the zoo, which, much like the press conference, featured loud noises and lots of random occurrences.
And a crew needing to clean up afterwards.
For us, we're not going to get into the specifics of the NFL stuff, but we did kind of, I did kind of want to talk about how Tim Bontemps mentioned this. A few other people have mentioned this, that you compare Silver's handling of the Sterling event to Goodell's handling of everything that's gone on in the last 6 weeks and really since February. And it just shows you like really the massive differential. And I started thinking about like what approval ratings for the two would be. Like Goodell would be in Bush 2 second term single digits territory right now. And Silver would probably still be in like the high 80s, despite the fact that I was also thinking about this. I was like, Goodell or like Silver came out 2 weeks ago and said that the guy that said, well, he's a good guy, but he's got a little African in him, should keep his job.
Yeah.
This is a little surprising to me. There's been no investigation of the league of that we know of the Cleveland incident. There's been no announcement of any sort of investigation into the report. There's been no investigation official into the Hawks situation. They're just kind of like, yeah, it's bad.
Well, wasn't there an investigation already launched, and that's how this stuff started to come out, is that they got ahead of it? Am I wrong? Did I misremember that?
No, you're accurate there, but if you say that and you're the league and you're facing this kind of situation on this kind of level about this issue, wouldn't you take the step and be like, we got to look into this a little bit. Like we.
No, you would definitely want to be more boisterous about it, I would assume.
And I think that they have. Like, I'm pretty sure the NBA has looked into this stuff. Yeah. I think that's probably where Silver got his assertion that, well, I don't think it's a fireable offense, is he probably talked to Ferry and talked to everyone involved.
Right.
But my question still remains, that former Cleveland executive still has not been identified. That, like, the source of that report has not been investigated, nor has the Cleveland Cavaliers issued a statement. I'm not even saying that they should. For them to say, like, it was a former member of our staff, like, we don't feel that there's any need for any sort of investigation. We're committed to going forward. Like, I think that there should probably be something, because everyone, it's just kind of gone under the rug. And part of that's because everyone's watching the NFL burn to the ground, like that pile of money in the Dark Knight. But I still think that it's interesting that Silver is considered so immensely popular because of how he brilliantly handled the Sterling situation. And I'm a very big Adam Silver guy, and I think he's going to be incredible. Like, I like the fact that he's so progressive and he's into technology and he preached transparency since the moment he took over. And he seems to be really committed into doing things the right way. But I do think it's interesting that all that happened and he kind of got the slide on what happened with all the Hawks stuff.
Speaking of being progressive and into technology, I'd like to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, where you can easily create your own professional website or online portfolio. If you were going to build a website to launch an investigation into this whole thing, you would want to use Squarespace because it's constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, even better support. You can get that support 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you want help, it's incredibly easy to use, but sometimes you maybe not want to do trial and error and figure out for yourself. You go get some help. They'll help you any time of day, any day you want. And the value is unreal. $8 a month includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And every design is going to look great, whether you're investigating on your tablet, you're investigating on your iPhone. The new iPhone 6 came out and the iPhone 6 Plus came out. It's going to look great on that. You won't even have to format it for that. It's just automatically formatted to fit your design and your style of your website. And if you start a free trial with no credit card required, start building your website today by using the offer code FUN, that's F-U-N, you're going to get 10% off from Squarespace. You're showing your support for the Ion Basketball podcast, and we thank them for their support of the podcast because it's everything you need to create an exceptional website.
And what says FUN more than an investigation into possible racial misconduct?
Exactly. That's how I have fun. No, you make great points there. I think that it is interesting to see, like, I mean, Silver hasn't done anything out of the norm, right? Or at least out of, like, common sense. Like, he had a racist owner caught on tape saying horrible things. There was a history with this guy, and he got him out of the league. And it's what everyone's want. And it was just like, no, we're going to take care of this now. Like, and however, like, he can spin it however he wants with, you know, not want, you know, it was fine under Stern's watch and all this stuff, and they didn't feel the need to take him out then, but he, like, however you want to spin it, like, he got rid of the guy. Like, flat out got rid of him.
Sterling was an NBA owner a year ago. He is not now.
Right, and a year ago, what would it have taken for you to, like, think, like, oh, Sterling's going to be gone in a year? Like, I would have thought, the only possible solution that I thought, solution, that's a horrible word to use, but I would have thought, like, oh, Sterling died.
That's no, it. I can believe it.
all the stuff he had done, everything that's in depositions and in court cases, like, everything he had done and been caught on record saying and all this stuff, like, he was still in the league.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, common sense, yes, but, like, he hadn't been ousted.
Like, the league read the transcript from the Elgin Baylor trial where someone testified that he took ladies through the locker room and said, look at their beautiful black bodies. And the league just kind of went, don't know what you're talking about.
They're like, yes, like, Elton Brand is in shape.
Like, that's the one where I just keep coming back to him being like, really, guys? Nobody thought that might have been something to make hay out of?
He heckled his own player from his courtside seat for being too fat. He heckled Baron Davis.
Yep.
And he was still an owner, but, like, Sterling.
Well, I don't want to throw stones on that one because we might see the same thing with Mark Cuban and Ray Felton.
That's true. We may see the sequel to that movie. But, like, Sterling came in and everything he's done, it's been like, this is what public opinion is. This is also good for our league. Like, yes, we're going to execute that. We're going to execute that plan. Whereas Goodell is faced with these situations, and he seems to just be like, this will just go away.
A lot of it's also how Sterling, like, a lot of it's public perception, right? It's how you come across. Like, Goodell came across as, like, trying to spin a message and, like, very much like a politician. And when Adam Silver comes out and says, I am banning Donald Silver, and his voice shakes when he says, for life.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
That resonated with everybody.
Because it was human. Like,
Goodell took heat today because, you know, they asked about, like, the independent investigation and, like, what Ray Rice told him. And they said, like, what are the, if you want to say you're about transparency, what was it he says? Like, well, this isn't the appeals process. I can't interfere with that. Yeah. And everyone's like, but that's not a legal matter. And right. Silver kind of had the cover of, I can't discuss it because we're definitely going to get sued. Like, this is going to be a legal process that we can't interfere with. So Silver had a benefit on that. And I want to make it clear, like, I'm a huge Adam Silver fan. I think he's handled things incredibly well. I think the league's in great hands. I think they're in better hands with him. And I think it's like, and there is the serious question being talked about of, like, what's the future of football and how does that compare with the future of other sports and, like, what's going to take its place. And, like, that's been kind of the unspoken thing is, like, Cuban's been yelling about this for years. Cuban's been the only one talking about it. But, like, the reality is there's so much money tied around football. And so people will keep saying, like, football's never going to go away. Football's never going to go away. It's going to get great. Everyone loves it. Blah, blah, blah. Like, there is starting to be this real groundswell. Like, I'm not – like, I played football when I was a kid, and my kid's never going to play it. Like, he's never going to play football.
Right.
That is never going to occur. And if your kid, if you want your kid to play, that's fine. That's your decision as a parent. Like, I don't think that, like, I think there are very real concerns for everyone to consider, but I do believe in personal choice still, and that's okay. But there are a lot of people like me that are, and there's a lot of people like me that are starting, that every time that I watch football, there's a large part of me that feels guilty about it. And the NBA does not present itself with that kind of guilt. Now, I will also say, like, all this talk about, like, all the arrests and everything going on in the NFL. Like, I remember a time when August and September in the NBA was, like, that's what you blogged about, was who was getting arrested. And it was every year. And it's been fascinating to me to watch that decline, that there's been this shift in player conduct. Like, I feel like players spend more time, like, vacationing abroad.
Yeah.
And working out. Like, I really feel like they just found better things to do with their time. I don't know what the impetus around that is, but we've seen a real decrease in that. And I think that that's really good, right? Because it prevents the idea that domestic violence is a racial issue. It from a studies standpoint, there's been indications of that, but that's largely tied to income level,
right?
So, and that's a whole other ball of wax, but it's just been interesting that the NBA is sitting on this real ability that they could capitalize on kind of whatever slip the NFL makes, even if it's minor. The NBA is going to be the sport to kind of capitalize on it, because you're not going to be like, wow, this sport's too violent. I think I'll go watch hockey. And,
right.
You know, and baseball really, it just doesn't connect with.
It doesn't connect with a society that has less and less of an attention span.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, think about it. You know, a lot of those games, if you go from an NBA game, you're tacking on a good half hour to an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, to what a baseball game is. And we're already complaining that basketball games are too long because of the timeouts and the end of game stuff, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's just not trending that way. Not that baseball can't be successful. I love baseball. I watch it almost every day. Like, I follow it. Like, I'm all in. But I'm also not the demographic anymore. Like, they're trying to grab, you know, 12 to 29-year-olds or whatever, you know, whatever the demographic is now. Like, you have to keep grabbing those younger fans, and that just skews towards people who play fantasy sports, people that end up becoming first-time, you know, degenerate gamblers, and people who are on social media. And that's all, like, that's NFL and that's NBA. That's what that, you know, that's the fan base that you can grab. And if football starts to go away, then it's just NBA, or at least it seems like it's just NBA to me. I mean, I guess you could get into college, you know, maybe college sports take the place, but would college football have as much luster? I guess it probably would, because it's so tradition-based, but, like, you would think that that would have to take somewhat of a hit if the NFL kind of crumbled, right?
Right.
And yeah. To your point about, like, the NFL, like, the fact that, you know, Procter & Gamble, like, Jason Lockenfour had it today on CBS Sports that, you know, Procter & Gamble is pulling out of the breast cancer initiative with the NFL due to these issues. Like, money is starting to come out. Like, and whether that ends up being something they can stop, or whether it's just, like, you know, kind of an outlier. Like, once corporate sponsors start pulling out of it, then it's a problem. Like, public perception is one thing, but once the money starts being pulled away, like, that's what gets change done. And your point about, you know, the players, like, I think I did the rabbit hole post today about Rasheed Wallace, and a lot of that stuff was reading through some of that Jailblazer stuff and seeing interviews about that Jailblazer stuff. And yeah, it was a real problem. And as much as, you know, David Stern got killed for the dress code, because I think you could easily say that it seemed racially motivated by whatever sponsors or whatever, you know, whatever specialist or expert came in to, you know, advise him on that. Regardless, like, it kind of, you know, Dwayne Wade had comments about this, about how, like, he's into fashion because of the dress code, because you had to start thinking about it as opposed to just dressing however you wanted. And that's what got him thinking. He thinks a lot of players, you know, got into it because of that. Like, the dress code, it was disrespectful in a way to the players, but it also kind of helped, because it reminded them that the image of this league matters. And I'm not saying, like, a dress code wouldn't fix what's going on in the NFL, but like, there are, like, little changes here and there that may not seem popular at the time, and maybe they're not even that good overall as a message. But if you get players, you know, second guessing how they're acting or how they look or whatever their appearance is, like, the public perception never gets to a point where money starts coming out.
Really good points. I've got a basketball question for you to kind of close
up. Ooh, basketball. I like basketball.
An actual basketball thing.
Yeah.
So Flip said isn't committing to Andrew Wiggins starting.
Yes.
Do you believe that he, A, should start, and B, should Saunders go ahead and say he's going to start?
I have never had a problem with rookies, no matter how prized they are. I've never had a problem with rookies or young guys in general having to prove that they deserve minutes and prove that they deserve starts. And the biggest example is the first year I started covering games as like a credentialed member of the media was Tyreke Evans' rookie year. And Omri Caspi was a rookie, and he couldn't get a starting job over Francisco Garcia. And Kings fans kind of went nuts. And not to disrespect Francisco Garcia, but my point was always, look, if Omri Caspi can't prove that he should be starting over Garcia, that tells you all you need to know about his ability right now. Like you, if you're better than the guy, it's rare that the coach isn't going to have you on the court. And so Wiggins has to prove that he deserves to start over either Kevin Martin or Corey Brewer, or maybe even Chase Budinger, but you don't know how his knee's going to be. Wiggins should be able to prove that. And the Wolves, like, all right, I don't know that Wolves history should back up any decision because history hasn't been so hot. I don't know if you're familiar with the organization, but they've made some mistakes. But Kevin Garnett's rookie year, he wasn't a regular starter until game 39 of his rookie
season. Isn't that crazy to think about? Like,
yeah, like Kevin Garnett.
I looked back and was looking at LeBron's rookie numbers, which I will now pull up to back up my point. And I was stunned. Like, he obviously started because he is a god in Cleveland. And I don't mean that in a hyperbole way. Like, at this point, I'm really starting to believe, like, in a way, he kind of is actually, like, one of those. Like, he's a little Xerxes-like at this point.
We've gotten to a What About Bob point where it's like, are you a god? He's like, I'm not the god. I'm a god.
That's Groundhog Day, right?
Oh, Groundhog Day. What did I say? What About Bob?
Yeah.
Oh, well, maybe he's going. Like, maybe he's going sailing.
I was like, why would he say that? Why would he say that? What about Bob? Although I did hear an argument on Dan Patrick's show today about Chevy Chase versus Bill Murray, and I'm like, how is this even a contest? Like, how is this even
that
close?
Can't to even be close.
Can't even. But okay, so LeBron only averaged 21 points, which is still a lot, obviously. But he only averaged 21 points his rookie season, and LeBron shot 42% from the field his rookie season.
Yeah,
42%. Like, that really stopped me in my tracks. I was like, God, like, if you use that as the measurement, then any of these kids from last year could wind up being, like, half as good as LeBron. Like,
which would not be a bad player.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, and, like, Garnett didn't start.
Yeah. Marbury wasn't a full-time starter the first five games, which isn't big, but Kevin Love wasn't a starter until his third season. That's when he was a full-time starter.
Rubio, yeah, but that was a whole other thing.
Right. That, I mean, but, like, they have – and granted – we should not measure their history of whether or not it's a successful decision, but you know, there have been very prized rookies that they've had that have not, you know, not been starting right away, and they've ended up being, you know, really good players, some Hall of Fame level with KG. Wiggins starting doesn't matter to me. Like, I want him to earn finishing games. If he gets to that point, well, it would also be impressive if they're in a lot of close games. Like, that would be another impressive thing. But if he gets, like, I think training camp day one, he's going to set himself apart from the other wings. And I think he'll be the starter. But I don't think it's on Flip to commit to it.
My thing is minutes. My thing has always been more minutes. It's that, like, Scott Skiles wouldn't play Joakim Noah over Ben Wallace. And, like, it's fine for Ben Wallace to have started at that point. But Joakim Noah just, like, wasn't getting minutes.
Right.
And I was like, there's just no reason for this. There's just, like, your season's over. Like, it was over by December 15th. Like, just be done with it. And Skiles was fired, I think, 8 days later. But which, by the way, I'll talk about how, like, the Bulls are just cold-blooded, and people are like, that's just not fair. Like, they're a professional organization. I'm like, they fired a guy on Christmas. They fired a guy on Christmas. Like, fired a guy on Christmas, lowballed and like slow rolled Tom Thibodeau for an extension, drove Luol Deng into the ground, and then in his mind was not incredibly supportive of the fact that he wasn't coming back early when he was in the hospital after a failed spinal tap. Like,
right.
Like, there's just like really look at the Bulls organization. And then you can go back further than that. Like, they had contract disputes with Michael Jordan.
Right.
Michael
and Phil Jackson.
Jordan.
And Scottie Pippen.
Major ones of Scottie Pippen.
Right.
You know? But, like, the fact was, like Reinsdorf was still like, I know it's Michael Jordan, but it's like, no, it's Michael Jordan. Pay him whatever he wants.
They basically had to convince everyone, like they basically had to, like, both sides had to be convinced to come back for that 97-98 season,
yeah.
Essentially. Like, that's crazy!
Yeah, it's in that Halberstam book, and it's great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you that he doesn't need a start. He does need minutes. Although I will say this is why I'm always in favor when you get into a position like the Wolves are to just trade every veteran. So you don't have to worry about this.
Yes,
just like,
I agree with that.
You need to earn minutes, but it's just like, why doesn't Kevin Martin need to earn? Like what is Kevin Martin – like if Kevin Martin practices better than Andrew Wiggins, and this is another thing that I've learned, and this drives me crazy, is I've started to understand how much practice affects a coach's mindset, which is nuts to me because of how little these guys practice, but it does make a huge impact. Like,
right,
if you practice badly, a lot of coaches will just be like, nope.
Right, they practice early in the season. And this is actually something I heard about Shabazz, which surprised me last year, is that they practice early in the season in – from what I heard, like, Shabazz just wasn't that good at practice. Like, he was lost in the system and all this stuff. But then when they would practice, like, the few times they practiced middle to the end of the season, Shabazz killed, like, dominated. But he had already set that precedent of, you know, he's not the guy. And not that he would have made a difference, and not that – I don't even really think, like, he fit in yet to what, you know, what he could become would have fit into what they needed. But, like, there's a certain point where it's like – he shouldn't have played early. He probably should have played later. But you set that bad precedent for yourself with practice, especially like if you don't get it early, teams just don't practice towards the end of the season.
Yeah, and coaches make that, like you talked about, like coaches make those decisions early and they just stick with them. Like they're stubborn as hell, and it's part of it. So yeah, I need to go. I got a kiddo that's getting up. But good week of potting, and thanks for everybody that's been positive about it.
Yeah, that was a good week of potting. I agree, and I would just remind we do have iTunes information in the post on CBSSports.com. Please leave a review. Please subscribe. Try not to leave under 4 stars. But Matt, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Matt.